The comments within the following podcast are those of any show hosts and not representative of any company in which the show hosts may represent. Welcome to podcast number 280. I am Jared. Thank you so much for tuning in. Jared Reimer is my name. Let's talk about what you are going to hear in this program. An article talking about two-factor. The article title? Two-factor authentication more important than ever. Chinese linked hackers breached top Australian Defense University. And finally, a book. I haven't done this in a while, and this might be a little disorganized in audio. And I don't take from exact chapter word for word, but illustrate how important it is. While this book was a great read, it is something that we need to keep in mind. How do we keep ourselves as secure as possible without breaking the bank and having our personal information all over the place? A very true tale on the law enforcement versus underground issue we have. And while this book was written in 2011, it's a very great read. And I hope that you enjoy the review. Kingpin. How one hacker took over the billion-dollar cybercrime underground. All of these articles and books are going to be linked in our show notes, which can be found on our RSS feed or the blog at technology.jaredreimer.net. So, contact information is at the end, and the podcast lasts over an hour. And I will be back next time with another edition of the Tech Podcast. My name is Jared Reimer, and thanks so much for listening. Let's get started with multi-factor authentication. Welcome to podcast number 280. As promised, after I read a batch of stuff, I'm going to come in and talk about what interested me out of the batch of items. And this time, it is from LastPass. There are several CyberScoop articles, but I think LastPass has very valid points. And when I saw the article today, and today referencing July 9th, 2018, it reminded me about a discussion I had with somebody on Livewire. I'm not going to disclose who that discussion was with, but I was happy to hear what they had to tell me. They were telling me that they were starting to embrace the two-factor aspect of security and had done some work with their Apple account. And they were talking to me about an issue with two-factor and iOS where it ended up locking them out. And they asked me if I had experienced it. I actually have experienced a lockout, but that was only because my phone itself was unavailable because it was down. It had stopped working. So with LastPass, I was able to contact them, tell them, look, my phone's not working. I went through the steps and they told me to contact you, and I don't have my phone right now. It's not working. And we went through verification steps and they disabled two-factor for me, so I could log in without any issues with LastPass. And so that was the only time. Now, Apple is interesting in regards to the way it works. When I go to appleid.apple.com, it brings up this code on my phone, and you have to actually swipe through the code and enter it that way, and then it disappears when it's validated. I honestly have not had an issue, but something happened that day that the person in question ended up contacting Apple, who then was able to use some diagnostics to look at what was happening to determine what the issue was. And I have not found out if I found out it was resolved, but I don't know exactly what the cause was. And the article that I saw on July 9th, which I will link to in the show notes, multi-factor authentication, more important now than ever. And if you do not use LastPass, you don't have to use LastPass. You can use Microsoft Authenticator, Google Authenticator. There is 1Password. There are several. Different programs that you can use. So you don't have to use LastPass, but the article, of course, is going to talk about their programs. And so that is okay to promote your own product, but you don't have to use it. The point of all of this is to understand, when you read this article, what is available, what's out there, what sites support it. SMS, as part of two-factor, is better than none. And a password manager that can also do two-factor is a good thing. Now, LastPass does have an authenticator app, which you can also use something like Trend Micro or Microsoft Authenticator. You know, something that allows you to multi-factor. But if you don't have the capability of using any of those types of apps, even with a password manager like LastPass, SMS is better than nothing. And so, what can we learn? We can learn that there are more breaches now than there have ever been. And when I started seeing all of these breaches, I just stopped podcasting. I'm like, this is old, and we need to be talking about other things other than all of these breaches. And I couldn't find anything because there was all of these breaches. And then I realized that, you know what? We need to talk about it. Because if we don't talk about it, we will never know what's out there. And we won't know how to better protect ourselves. Right? So, I'm seeing more breach notifications now through other blogs other than Krebs. I saw one on this same day from CyberScoop, and I think this one is a bigger deal, but I'll cover this in a different segment of the podcast. But what can we learn? We can learn that if you have two-factor authentication, no matter where the breach comes from, if they support it, then it's not going to be that big a deal. Yes, you're going to have to change your password anyway, but they aren't going to get at your details. They're not going to get at your account. They'll move on to an account that is not protected by two-factor. And so, that is what we can learn from it. And this particular article. And when I talk about the particular company I saw a breach from, we can learn that they had multi-factor authentication. But the breach was caused by something else. And I'll cover that when I cover that article. So, I think that if we can, let's try to enable two-factor authentication everywhere we possibly can. Because we can be better protected and that is always a good thing. What do you think? Please contact me. Email or iMessage tech, T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. WhatsApp or text, 804-442-6975. Or, if you are on LiveWire, leave me a message over there. The box is 2276. Or directly on the board where the podcast is being posted. That board number is 295. And if you're on Ground Zero, the other tech board I have over there is 224. And I am over there. They're two sister stations. They provide bulletin boards, games, and a whole bunch of stuff. My goal is not to talk about the system per se, but for those who are not familiar with what they are, that's what they are. The box on both systems is 2276 if you want to communicate with me over there. So, that's all I have for this article, and I'll continue with more of the podcast. I'm Jared Reimer. So I want to talk about this article that I have been mulling over for a while. And the article comes from CyberScoop. Chinese linked hackers, they're up to no good. Breach Australian University. Now, this is a big deal. We all talk about the government being breached and all of the various other things, but we really don't see educational institutions being breached. The only other one that I really covered on my own is one school that I was at that I was actually notified of the breach. And I'm not about to tell you that this is going to be a one-off incident. I was actually quite shocked to hear about mine. I definitely hope that the education industry understands how bad this type of a thing is. We also are going to talk about an article that I came across too, and all of these articles are going to be linked in our show notes, and I'm not going to forget to put them in. But, you know, this one definitely got me to thinking when I saw the one about my one school. You know, how many institutions are really being breached? We talk about different types of companies, and we talk about all sorts of stuff, but we really don't talk about how bad it really is. We talk about the health institutions, we talk about the government, but there are other types of institutions that are breached, and you can't forget about them. There's just no way. There's so much news now that you can't keep up with it all. And right now I'm trying to find the best ones I think we should talk about. But I want to also talk about a book that I read that also talked in one of the chapters about the breaches. And there are quite a number of them that were talked about in this particular book where I honestly think that it should be talked about. And I might just have to get a copy of the audio just to see if I can bring you that chapter, because it talks about a lot of breaches that I've known about. TJ Maxx, Capital One, and others. And it's definitely something that we need to be aware of. I'll get into the book in a little while, but boy, education institutions, we don't hear anything. And I am sure that this is going to be a big time problem. A really big time problem. I found in CyberScoop's coverage too. We talk about the idea of the hackers that dealt with Equifax. And it is definitely interesting. I see one article here about Silk Road. It's been covered before, where you could get stuff underground. But then we've got one that really caught my attention, Equifax, CISO, Jamal Farshies, three app shared data. So yeah, a security plan. I haven't read it yet, so I'm not ready to talk about it or link it, but boy, Equifax, a whole data mining set. Big time problem. We've got companies like Cellebrite, I've read about it, who want to use your IoT, your Internet of Things device, to go ahead and target you. And we see things like this every day, but you don't see anything in regards to the education field. Cellebrite, I don't know anything about them. All I've heard about them All I've seen about them is everything bad. I'm not even going to link that article. I thought about linking it, and I can't begin to tell you how bad it makes me feel to link something that is so horrifying. I want you guys to really think about what is going on out here. It's not just about us doing business in institutions or healthcare. You know, going to the doctor and seeing what's wrong. You know, I've had issues with my eyes, so I ordered an eye drop. Okay, I pay for it. Okay. You know, we all know that the data is being shared. But you think of education, which is really what I want to phone home about with this. And this is something that is really, really bad. I just can't understand what people are thinking, you know, hacking educational institutions who have to charge for their services, and you're getting an education, and the last thing that you need to worry about, although with any breach it's bad, but especially at an educational institution where you're already paying money, so they're collecting fees, they're, you know, doing tuition, whatever you need to do to get into the school, and then you find out of a breach? They want me to go back to school. I'm thinking about going back to school. After all these years, I'm thinking about it. But what is the point? Even if we pay the money, you know, there could be a breach, and our information is out there. And the fact that we're taking classes, you don't know what types of information these educational institutions have on us. They're going to know when our classes are, when we're supposed to show up. You know, it's more of a target to go after an institution. And that's what these hackers are all about, getting as much data on everybody and anybody for no good reason, but to cause a bunch of trouble. I just don't understand what is coming of age. And if this education article that you will read, if it's not a wake-up call for you, then I don't know what will be. I don't know what will be your particular wake-up call to know how bad it is. I see another thing dealing with Chinese hackers and the Clinton email server. Well, I don't necessarily care. You know, this is a big-time problem. You're supposed to, you know, be as secure as possible, but yet, you know, they're doing everything they can to destroy us. And we don't have a way to stop it. I'm more concerned about the hacks, you know, dealing with healthcare. Of course, the education. I really don't know much about what OPM has to say about themselves in regards to that breach. It's absolutely terrible. But I do want to cover a great book. A very good book that I think people should get their hands on if they have not already. I'll talk about that book coming up next. I'm Jared Reimer. This is the Technology Blog and Podcast. This is Podcast 280. Alright, folks, it's time for a book review of a book. Yes, it's a little late in reading because it's a 2011 book, but came across my desk from reading Spam Nation, which I talked about on my own tech podcast a long time ago when I read it. And this one is quite interesting. And this particular book can be found through Bookshare. It can be found on Amazon or Bard Mobile. Or it can be found on Bard through a cooperation with Idaho Talking Book Program. The book title is Kingpin, How One Hacker Took Over the $1 billion Cybercrime Underground. I'll get into book numbers a little bit later on, but I want to take the opportunity now to read the synopsis that was given to us from Bookshare. I'm not saying that Bard has a bad description, but I like these synopsises from Bookshare because it really talks about what the book is, while Bard has a short version of it, and of course who reads it and everything, and that is good. Former hacker Kevin Paulson has, over the past decade, built a reputation as one of the top investigative reporters on the cybercrime beat. In Kingpin, he pours his unmatched access and expertise into book form for the first time, delivering a gripping cat and mouse narrative and an unprecedented view into the 21st century's signature form of organized crime. The word spread through the hacking underground like some unstoppable new virus. Someone, some brilliant, audacious crook, had just staged a hostile takeover of an online criminal network that siphoned billions of dollars from the U.S. economy. The FBI rushed to launch an ambitious undercover operation aimed at tracking down this new kingpin. Other agencies around the world deployed dozens of moles and double agents. Together, the cyber cops lured numerous unsuspecting hackers into their clutches. Yet, at every turn, their main quarry, displayed an uncanny ability to sniff out their snitches and see through their plots. The culprit, they thought, was the most unlikely of criminals, a brilliant programmer with a hippie ethic and a supervillain's double identity. As prominent white hacker Max Vision Butler, he was a celebrity throughout the programming world, even serving as a consultant to the FBI. But as the Black Hat Iceman, he found in the world of data theft an irresistible opportunity to test his outsized ability. He infiltrated thousands of computers around the country, sucking down millions of credit card numbers at will. He effortlessly hacked his fellow hackers, stealing their ill-gotten games from under their noses. Together with a smooth-talking con artist, he ran a massive real-world crime ring, and for years he did it all with seeming impunity, even as countless rivals ran afoul of police. Yet, as he watched the fraudsters around him squabble, their ranks riddled with infiltrators, their methods inefficient, he began to see in their dysfunction the ultimate challenge. He would stage his coup and fix what was broken, run things as they should be run, even if it meant painting a bullseye on his forehead. Through the story of this criminal's remarkable rise and of law enforcement's quest to track him down, Kingpin lays bare the workings of a silent crime wave still affecting millions of Americans. In these pages, we are ushered into vast online fraud. Supermarkets stocked with credit card numbers, counterfeit checks, hacked bank accounts, dead drops, and fake passports. We learn the workings of the numerous hacks, browser exploits, phishing attacks, Trojan horses, and much more. These fraudsters used to play their trade and trace the complex routes by which they turn stolen data into millions of dollars. And thanks to Paulson's remarkable access to both cops and criminals, we step inside the quiet, desperate arms race that law enforcement continues to fight with these scammers today. Ultimately, Kingpin is a journey into the underworld of startling scope and power, in which ordinary American teenagers work hand in hand with murderous Russian mobsters, and where a simple Wi-Fi connection can unleash a torrent of gold worth millions. From the hardcover edition. Copyright 2011. Date of addition to Bookshare 5/18/2011. The barred number is DBC00795. So, Max Butler was and probably could still be although there are probably many others out there that are getting away with this. We see breach after breach practically every week in our news. It is not something that should be taken for granted. This is now a true story of today's technology. We cannot go wrong in making sure that we, as a society, understand what goes on in fighting these types of crimes. And I feel that this book did exactly that. I read this book through Bookshare, a service designed for people with vision impairments to have easy access to books. In some cases, they can get access to books faster than any other service, such as Bard. I'm not saying that Bard is terrible, but when I did a search, I found that it was there, but it's there through the cooperating library, which is fine. That's great that it's there for people who want to read it. And for people who can't afford Bookshare, I'm glad that they can read this excellent book, because this is something that we cannot take for granted anymore. This is practically happening now every day. And a lot of the breaches that have been covered on the technology podcast have been covered in this book. The reading time is 8 hours 15 minutes through Bard. I believe that the reading time through Dream Reader, which was the app that I used for this, was 7 hours plus, but another little while is not going to make that big a difference. The categories are computers and true crime. This book does contain strong language, and that is very important. And Bard does have the first paragraph, although this actually indicates that he has been doing this for decades, or for the past decade, anyhow. So that is good. I really think that this book is a perfect book to read because of the fact that it covers so much. And while it covers one Max Butler, it covers also the people that helped him in other ways. A gentleman by the name of Chris, who was able to do other types of things, like make the counterfeit cards that were used. They had plenty of girls in this. These girls would buy things using these stolen cards. Some of them got picked up. Others didn't. These girls were also working. You also see Temper's Flare. Nobody is found dead. And there's no violence in this book. Some of the cybercrime do lead into the world of violence, but this does not. And this is something that I think each and every person should read. Now, I want to take some of the information from one of the chapters. The chapter is called Aftermath. And I want to take a particular section of this. I don't know if I'm going to read every little thing on here, but lots of people were picked up. Maxim Myrstensky, he was vacationing in Turkey. An undercover secret operative lured him to a nightclub in Kemer. He was arrested and they seized his laptop. His laptop was encrypted. And they performed a sneak and peek in Dubai. This guy actually coughed up the 17-character passphrase. And they ended up poring over its contents. So he's one guy, but there are plenty others. And I'm not going to read every little thing, but one of the breeches. Was of interest, and that is TJ Maxx, and of course they talk in this book about the Capital One breach. And that makes it interesting. It says here, 1 month after firewall, and I believe that firewall was an operation, Gonzalez had gotten permission to move from New Jersey back to his home, Miami, where he launched the second act of his hacking career. He took on the name Segvec, S-E-G-V-E-C, and passed himself off as a Iranian, hanging his hat on the Eastern European Forum, Mazafaka, under the rubric Operation Get Rich or Die, Tryin', the title of a 50 Cent album and Macassica's Shadow Crew motto. He went on to create a multi-million dollar cyber theft ring that touched tens of millions of Americans. On May 8th, 2008, the feds swooped in on Gonzalez and his U.S. associates, hoping for leniency at sentencing. Gonzalez cooperated again, providing agents with the encryption key for his hard drive and giving them information on his entire gang. He admitted to the breaches at TJX, Office Max, DSW, Forever 21, and Dave and Buster's, and to helping Eastern European hackers penetrate the grocery chain Hannaford Brothers, 7-Eleven's ATM network, Boston Markets, and the credit card processing company Heartland Payment Systems, which alone leaked nearly 130 million cards. Heartland, folks. I covered them through Krebs on Securities coverage. That one guy was picked up, folks, and it's talked about in this book. We finally learn who was behind this particular thing. Now, that is great news to find out who's behind things, how they did it, what went on, and the whole bit. $1 million in cash he buried in his parents' backyard. He also had a Glock 27 firearm and ammunition. Lots of different crime rings in the book are mentioned. Jonathan C. Zero M-R-A-D-E, James, who hacked NASA as a teenager and received a landmark 6-month juvenile sentence the same week that Max Vision pleaded guilty to his Pentagon hacks in 2000. So, this is talking about criminals that led multiple lives and were very successful. They were picked up, charged, and we learn about different types of stories on how they got picked up. We learn also in this book about one of the biggest carding shops, and of course, Brian Krebs on Krebs on Security talks about these types of things on his website. KrebsOnSecurity.com. On May 18th, the 24-year-old Gonzalez shot himself dead, and in his 5-page letter, he said he had no faith in the justice system. And you'll read in this book that Max Butler had the same thoughts. Perhaps my actions today and this letter will send a stronger message to the public. Either way, I have lost control over the situation. This is my only way to regain control. So each person is talked about here in this aftermath chapter. But what I'm interested to tell you about is the fact of the following. Since Max's arrest, new scams have emerged in the underground, the worst of them involving specialized Trojan horse software designed to steal a target's online banking passwords and initiate money transfers from the victim's account right through his own computer. And of course, now the term they're using is ransomware, where they are practically locking your computer down and extorting you that way. According to the book, Max is scheduled to be released this year. People like Chris Aragon are talked about. Chris Aragon was the person who was responsible for making the counterfeit cards. He was able to get equipment and he was responsible for a whole bunch of stuff. They call them money launderers. Bogus work at home jobs, right? The work consisted of accepting money transfers and payroll deposits, then sending the bulk of the cash to Eastern Europe by Western Union. And of course, we've known about these types of scams for a while. Hi, I'm this person. I have a job for you. Send me your name, address, phone number, and we'll be in touch because you can make this much and you'll be sending this much back and you'll be able to keep a percentage. That's how those worked. 120 million dollars into the attack. Small businesses were targeted. This book really talks about how the underground itself and law enforcement work together . And this is a book, I think, that people should be reading. Carter Shops, The Dark Market, the Eastern Europeans have become more cloistered and protective. And the big players have retreated to invitation-only encrypted chat servers. And of course, those have been talked about quite a bit recently in WhatsApp, Signal, and others. This is something that is worth mentioning, that restaurants were also a big target of Max's. Various restaurants were hit, and they were easy targets because the credit card processor processed all of the credit card payments once a day. So they were sitting unencrypted, or were they encrypted? If they were, it wasn't strong enough. They talk about the software, PC Anywhere. They were able to log in using passwords, set passwords to whatever they wanted. They fixed the bug. They left themselves a hole to get in anytime they want, to take whatever they wanted. And this is that story. This is that story. Wired Magazine wrote an article on Max and others. Max also, you'll find out that he wanted to work for the FBI, and he also lived a double life. He was all over California, and one of the guys that's mentioned in this book too is in a nearby town of mine called Northridge. I thought I read somewhere that he was to be released this year in this book. If you have not been interested in this and you finally are interested in this because of how detailed this book is. I suggest you give it a read. This was really, really good. So, definitely something of interest. Even though I took a little bit from chapter 36, to give you an idea of what is happening, even though the chapter is entitled Aftermath, we need to understand that this problem isn't going away. It has only gotten worse. While the arrests of these players was a step forward, law enforcement should not back down, in my opinion, to bring these criminals to justice. Talk about it in the particulars of schools. Talk about how bad this is. This is something that really needs to be interesting. It needs to be interesting in the fact that if we don't talk about this and tell true stories of how people can get caught, then we aren't making any progress. And if we don't make progress to catch these guys, they're going to get more brazen. They're going to get themselves into a lot of more serious crimes. We talked about how one guy shot himself dead. That's the bulk of the crime in violence that we have in this book. But this is only the beginning. And if you don't take anything else out of this book, even though I've only read portions of chapter 36, then we've not gotten anywhere. We must continue to push forward, protect ourselves the best we can from people like Max and Chris and other particular aspects of this ongoing saga that hasn't really stopped, and that is the cybercrime of taking people's personal information. And at the time of the book, this book was written, it wasn't as bad as it is now, and I'm hoping that more information comes out about the people that are behind this so that we can continue to learn how to better protect ourselves. Kingpin by Kevin Paulson. A great read. I suggest you read it. You might learn a lot. It's not technically written, but well worth the read. I'm Jared Reimer. Thanks for listening. Thank you. complete this podcast today. I am Jared Reimer, and here's my contact information. My email address is tech, that's T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp or call 804-442-6975. If you do not get me and you call me, please leave a message. I will not return calls that don't have a message. That is so that people know that I don't just call random phone numbers. It is very important that you leave a contact telephone number, as sometimes the way calls are routed, it doesn't necessarily give you the correct number. It will in most cases, but I've seen people leave a different number because they either call from a different one or it's routed differently. So that's important too. My Skype is JaredR80 if you wish to add me there. And I hope to hear from each and every one of you. The articles talked about and the book talked about in this podcast are going to be linked in the show notes found on our RSS feed or blog. Thanks for listening.